Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Info Edge Limited Q1 FY 2019-20 results conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our FY 19-20 first quarter results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly financial performance of the company. Here I would like to mention about the implementation of IND AS 116 from the current financial year. As you must be aware, effective April 1st, 2019, there is a change in accounting for lease as mandated by IND AS 116. Accordingly, we have recognized the right to use assets and lease liability. We have also charged depreciation and interest on the same instead of expensing the rentals. Consequently, EBITDA is higher but PAT is lower, as we have mentioned in the publication. As we've opted for modified retrospective approach as per IND AS, comparatives for previous quarters are not separately available in our published results. To enable comparison, we would be announcing EBITDA for each segment with carved out impact of IND AS. We will of course after that cover each business in more detail, and in the end we'll be happy to take questions. The audited financial statements file has been uploaded on our website infoedge.in. We have also provided segmental billing, revenue, profit before taxes and DSR movement in our data sheet on our website. Let's start with the standalone financials. Billings in Q1 were Rs. 336.3 crores, up 18.7% year-on-year. Revenue in Q1 was Rs. 312.8 crores, up 20.5% year-on-year. Operating expenses, excluding depreciation for the quarter, were Rs. 211.8 crores, up 20.8%. Operating expenses readjusted for IND AS 116 stood at Rs. 217.8 crores, up 24.26%. Operating EBITDA stood at 101 crores versus 84.3 crore last year, an increase of 19.8% year on year. And operating EBITDA readjusted for IND AS 116 stood at 94.98 crores, up 12.7% year on year. Operating EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 32.3%. Operating EBITDA readjusted for IND AS 116 stood at 30.37%, down from 32.5% last year. And EBITDA readjusted for ESOP non-cash charges and IND AS 116 stood at 100.2 crores versus Rs. 88.1 crores in Q1 of last financial year. And EBITDA margin readjusted for ESOPs and IND AS 116 for the quarter stood at 32%. Cash EBITDA for the quarter stood at Rs. 123.5 crores, up 10.3% year-on-year. Deferred sales revenue stood at 495.3 crores as of June 30th, 2019 versus 419.8 crores as of June 30th, 2018, a growth of 18% year-on-year. And the cash balance in IEL and all its subsidiaries, 100% of its subsidiaries, stands at Rs. 1543 crores as of June 30th, 2019. This was at Rs. 1980 crores as of June 30th, 2018. So recruitment, the recruitment business and the real estate business, of course, before I move on to the businesses, I'll let you also cover the consolidated financial highlights. At the consolidated level, the net sales of the company stood at Rs. 319.7 crores versus Rs. 277 crores from the previous, from corresponding quarter of in 18. For the consolidated entity at the PAT level, there is a loss of 192.1 crores versus a loss of Rs. 22 crores from the corresponding quarter of last year. And adjusted for exceptional items, PAT stood at a loss of Rs. 189 crores in the quarter ended June 19 versus a loss of 22 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. The recruitment business and the real estate business continue to drive the growth of InfoEdge in the last quarter. We increased our spend on marketing substantially in all our businesses, specifically Naukri and Jeevansathi. Our overall spend on the marketing for the quarter was around 55 crores, which is up 46% year on year. We continue to sort of invest aggressively in product, technology, data science, and engineering in all our verticals. Most of these investments we've also sort of piloted a couple of new projects, and investments in these areas will continue in subsequent quarters as well. Now let's move on to the recruitment business. In Q1, the recruitment segment billing was at 251.75 crores, up 19.8% year-on-year, while revenues were at rupees 219.5 crores, a growth of 19.2% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA stood at rupees 114.9 crores, up 9.9% year-on-year. Margins were at 52.4% versus 56.8% in Q1 of last year. EBITDA readjusted for Ind AS 116 stood at rupees 111.8 crores at a margin of 50.9%. And EBITDA readjusted for ESOP non-cash charges and Ind AS 116 stood at 117.37 crores at 52% versus 57.8% in the same quarter last year. And cash EBITDA for recruitment during the quarter stood at rupees 146.5 crores, up 10.6% year-on-year. In Naukri, in Q1, we added an average of 19,000 fresh CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to over 64 million CVs. Average CV modifications were at 366,000 CV mods per day. Our traffic share in the traditional job board space continues to grow and is now at over 85% without Indeed and at about 67% including Indeed. We continue to invest in our recruitment tools and systems business as we sort of experience more adoption of our offering in the market. We continue to invest aggressively in data science and AI and machine learning to improve the user experience of our of both recruiters and job seekers on our platform. The IT and ITAS segment continue to drive the growth rate, growth for Naukri in the last quarter. Southern markets did sort of phenomenally well compared to markets in the West and North. We also invested aggressively in marketing, especially television, brand building, and outdoor campaigns in the last quarter. All our metrics sort of indicate to us that these campaigns were very well received in the market, and the impact on our sort of business has been positive, and our brand has got a boost as a result of these campaigns. As you also know, we also completed the acquisition of iimjobs during the quarter. iimjobs reported a billing of 5.7 crores for Q1 of 2020. This is a growth of 22% from Q1 from the same quarter last year. The business operates at a near break-even level. Now let's move on to the other verticals. In the real estate business, in 99acres, billings in Q1 grew 18% year-on-year to rupees 48.4 crores, while revenue grew 34.6% to rupees 56.4 crores. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 24 lakhs. EBITDA adjusted for Ind AS 116 stood at a loss of 1.62 crores against a loss of 11.48 crores in Q1 of last year. EBITDA adjusted for ESOP and Ind AS 116 expenses stood at a loss of rupees 97 lakhs versus a loss of rupees 10.73 crores last year. And a cash EBITDA loss of 99acres during the quarter stood at 7.13 crores against a loss of rupees 11.73 crores last year. Our traffic share amongst the real estate portals continues to be around 50% based on time spent as per SimilarWeb. And the broker segment continues to see strong growth with almost 20,000 brokers now active on the platform. And like we've indicated in the past, the key focus and invest areas for 99acres will continue to be sort of market brand building and investment in product and technology and data quality to improve the quality of experience for our users on our platform. Moving on to the Jeevan Sathi business. Billings in Jeevan Sathi grew 10.3% year-on-year in Q1 to rupees 20.11 crore, and revenue grew 9.4% year-on-year to rupees 19.92 crores. The operating EBITDA loss in Jeevan Sathi stood at rupees 8.83 crores in Q1 of FY20, up from a loss of rupees 5.6 crores last year. EBITDA adjusted for Ind AS 116 stood at a loss of rupees 9.49 crores. EBITDA readjusted for ESOP and Ind AS 116 stood at a loss of rupees 9.3 crores for Q1 versus a loss of rupees 5.46 crores last year. Cash loss for Jeevansathi during the quarter stood at rupees 9.13 crore. Higher marketing spends on Jeevansathi during the quarter led to an increase in traffic as well as the number of paid users or free users registering on the platform. We continue to see positive sort of benefits of increased marketing spend, which leads to higher traffic growth on the platform as we move into the second quarter of FY19-20. In the Shiksha business, in the education business in Shiksha, in Q1, billings grew by 13.9% year-on-year to rupees 16 crores, while revenue grew 10.7% year-on-year to rupees 16.93 crores. In the Shiksha business, we made an EBITDA profit of rupees 4.26 crores in Q1. EBITDA adjusted for Ind AS 116 stood at rupees 3.73 crores versus an EBITDA of 3.06 crores last year. And EBITDA adjusted for ESOP and Ind AS 116 for the quarter stood at rupees 3.95 crores versus an EBITDA of 3.32 crores last year. Cash EBITDA profit for the quarter stood at rupees 3.09 crores versus a cash EBITDA profit of rupees 2.1 crores last year. We continuously, we continue to put in a lot of effort to upgrade the quality of content on the Shiksha platform. Then moving on to our strategic investments, Zomato continues to witness very strong overall growth across all their businesses, including the food delivery business. They are now operating in many tier three towns as well. Their focus is not only to grow, but grow efficiently, and hence they are able to, so that they can reduce the burn over time. Policy Bazaar and Paisa Bazaar both continue to maintain a healthy growth rate. The revenue growth in the last two financial years has been more than 60%, and we also continue to evaluate new investment opportunities. That's all from sort of me right now, and thank you, and we are now ready to take any questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star one now. We have a first question from the line of Jay Nandwani from Perfect Research Funds. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Yeah, good evening.
I have few questions. I would ask it in a single order. What competition do you foresee from players like Indeed, Google Jobs, and Monster, which was recently acquired by Quest Corp? Like our global peers, are we planning to conduct screening tests which check aptitude, psychometric tests, so as to better filter out candidates as a major help to employers? Can you throw more light on recent investments in ShoeConnect, Gramophone, and IMM Jobs? Global players like Peak.com, Recruit, and 51 Jobs are growing at more than 15% revenue growth. With such a large base, can we also grow at the same numbers?
Okay. As far as competition from the likes of Indeed, Google Jobs, and Monster goes, Indeed has, of course, been very active in India for the last few years. It's been maybe more than 5-7 years now. For a while in between, they were very strongly, they were spending a lot of money on marketing and advertising as well. And they were very active on the performance marketing side too. We haven't really encountered them much in, on the customer side. But they've been very aggressively sort of trying to attract more job seekers to their platform. And that continues to be the case with Indeed. They've sort of been a little out of media for the last 3 or 4 months, but, they could come back anytime.
Yeah.
So as Google Jobs is concerned, Google Jobs is not really trying to monetize the platform right now. I think their goal seems to be to improve the experience for job seekers who search on Google for jobs. We have not been giving them our jobs till now, but we will continue to revisit our position from time to time. Monster, we haven't seen any activity from Monster in the market for the last few years now. Yes, they've been acquired by Quest, But I think you know, on traffic and on many other parameters, we still have a long way to go. You know, our traffic share in the job portal space, you know, if you look at our traditional competitors like Shine, Monster, Time Jobs, was actually higher than 85% or maybe in also 88% in some months last quarter. As far as screening tests and psychometric tests go, you know, we you know, what tends to happen is that companies use platforms like ours for shortlisting candidates, and only on the shortlisted candidates do they run psychometric and screening tests. You know, so as a part of our effort to sort of build recruitment tools and solutions for our clients, we may sort of over time integrate with some assessment companies. We already sort of allow, you know, companies when they post jobs on Naukri to ask a few questions which can sort of help them filter the right candidates while posting a job itself on Naukri.com. So that continues. But we don't really have a big effort right now in Naukri to sort of, you know, provide screening and psychometric sort of services to our clients. In the first Naukri business, which is a very small part of what we do, we sort of have a tie-up with a assessment company, and we sort of provide these services to companies who want to hire job seekers from campus. We're not in the main Naukri business at the moment. As far as you know, you mentioned 15% revenue growth. I mean, the Naukri business for the last few quarters has been growing at more than 20%. And of course, we are working on a lot of interesting new ideas. If some of those work out, then of course things could change. Also, a lot depends on the economy. If growth rate sort of picks up in the economy, then the growth rate in Naukri could pick up. IIM Jobs, you know, we acquired very recently for a consideration of around 80 crores. Company's got a very strong brand and a very good product in the sort of space in which it operates, which is like right now a niche space. We think sort of using our Naukri sort of sales and distribution muscle, we sort of will be able to take not just IIM Jobs but also some of the other offerings which are slowly becoming popular, like Hirist.com and a bunch of others, to a lot of customers. You know, because we work with close to 75,000 customers, as you know, while they currently have maybe just 700-800 customers. On Shoe Connect and Gramophone, maybe.
Yeah. What was the question? I couldn't make out the question. Shoe Connect, Gramophone. Could you repeat the question on Shoe Connect and Gramophone? Hello?
I just wanted to know a little bit about the investment.
Yeah, linkages about in three of these.
Well, actually, there's no linkage among the three of them, but they're independent investments. And Shoe Connect essentially is a B2B kind of player which connects shoe manufacturers to shoe retailers, the underserviced, underserved retailer and the and the small manufacturer. And it's a fragmented industry, and it does you know, logistics and ordering. It's showing good traction, and it's getting inbound interest from other investors. Gramophone has already raised a round from an external investor after we went in. And that's, you know, and Gramophone is, you know, is working in parts of Madhya Pradesh with farmers on advisory and e-com and selling them inputs. Something wrong with the connection.
Hello. Yeah. Can we have the next question, please?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Manish Adukia from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good evening, and thank you for taking my questions. A couple of questions. You mentioned that Indeed has been a bit absent from the media in the recent months in terms of advertising and marketing, while your spend has gone up in the recent quarters. And you also indicated in your opening remarks that you've seen some positive trends coming out of that. So if you can just throw some light on, you know, how has this increased advertisement spend helped you in terms of ramping up your customer base or your revenue. That's one. And a couple of quick questions on the real estate. Again, if you can just provide a quick update on what the competitive scenario there is like at this point, and, you know, what the underlying real estate market at this point in time looks like. I mean, there's been some weakness in the underlying real estate market, but what's your sense? How does it look like over the next 3, 6, 9 months in terms of the underlying market? Thank you.
So, you know, Indeed has been around for a long time now, and they were they've been advertising aggressively for the last few quarters. They were out of media for the last 2 or 3 months. And when I say media, I mean sort of media like television and you know, outdoors. They've been aggressive on the performance marketing side, so they continue to aggressively advertise online. You know, and sort of we have been, you know, doing a little bit of advertising, but not that much for a long time now. We were out of media. We made a new ad film and went up on TV a few months back, and the results have been very encouraging. See, the advertising we do this is more directed at consumers and job seekers, and it's unlikely to impact our corporate revenue in the short run. But in the long run, you know, if we get a brand sort of, if our sort of, you know, our brand moves to the next level and we are able to attract more job seekers to the platform and more people become, download our apps and become more active, then, you know, over time, it will sort of translate into increased, you know, revenue from our customers as well. That's the idea behind sort of these marketing campaigns. As far as the real estate sort of business is concerned, the real estate market continues to be in very bad shape. In fact, in our business also, while, you know, billing growth has actually slowed down this quarter. So we, you know, and while we grew at 18%, billing at 18%, you know, there were sort of different markets behaved differently. In some markets, we grew at 25%, 27%. In some markets, we grew in single digits. So I guess the impact has been different in different sort of cities. But definitely, what we are hearing from our customers is that there is a problem with sort of financing, both for builders and for buyers of new homes, and as a result, you know, new launches are likely to be hit, right? So not enough builders will probably launch new projects now, and that impacts our business. Having said so, you know, still a market where we are a tiny part of the market. The real estate market has been through hell for the last 5 years. Yet there are demonetization, GST, all kinds of issues. But we've been growing, you know, every year. And in fact, this quarter we made a sort of we sort of broke even in this business. So if the market continues to be even sort of if the market continues to grow even moderately, we should be fine. You know, we should be at some point in time able to pick up our growth rate. But yes, if there is a big crash in the market, then who knows? As far as competitive position is concerned, like I mentioned, we continue to sort of have a close to a 50% traffic share in the market as per sort of SimilarWeb. In some cities, we believe we are fairly strong and we have a close to 60% share. In some other markets, we are, you know, we have a close to 40% share. On the whole, we believe we have a close to 50% share of the, or 45 to 50% share of the market at this point in time.
Sure, Adish. Just a quick follow-up on the matrimony business. Again, in that business, ad spends have been quite high. How's the competitive scenario there in that space? What are we seeing?
So that space is very competitive. It's a three-player market. In the north and west, where we are a strong player, it's a two-player market mostly between us and Shaadi. And, you know, what has happened really in the last 3 or 4 years is that we managed to create a place for ourselves in this market. From a virtual nobody, we are now a business which is doing about 20 crores a quarter in terms of collection. Of course, there's a aggressive sort of price war in this market at this point in time. Companies, all the three companies are spending a lot of money on advertising also, and therefore cost of customer acquisition is going up, and that's why our losses have gone up. But we believe it's the right strategy for us at this point in time, and if we continue with the strategy for the next you know, couple of years, we will be able to sort of you know, become a strong player in one part of the market.
Great. Thanks so much. Thanks for taking my questions, and all the best.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Vivekanand Subbaraman from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. This customer addition trend that we are seeing in Naukri, can you throw some more light on this? What's going right for you there? And can you give a bit more color on the recruitment market growth that you have seen? My second question pertains to your investments. So over the last year or so, you've been making a lot more B2B investments. Can you give some color on the valuations in the B2B space compared to the B2C space, and how do you see it in the context of the addressable opportunity in B2B markets versus B2C? Thank you.
Yeah, so the recruitment market as a whole, is very sectoral. I mean, some sectors continue to do well. Like I mentioned, IT, our IT business grew at more than 20%, in fact, last quarter. So IT companies seem to, especially the companies based out of Bangalore and Chennai and Hyderabad, seem to be doing well, and they seem to be hiring large numbers. And that's a sort of positive for us. Sectors like healthcare, education, services in general, except for now, NBFCs and telecom services which have been hit, and where hiring has been hit to some extent, continue to do well. The infra sector or sectors like construction, real estate, high-end heavy metals, engineering, they continue to be sort of in trouble. We've not sort of, our revenue share, for example, from the so-called, or what we call the infra sectors, has over a period of the last, 10 years declined from a high of 25% to maybe now 15-16%, right? So these sectors continue to be in trouble from a hiring standpoint. The SME space for us continues to do well. So sort of we've been able to get more SMEs to sort of list on Naukri, which is where a lot of the new customer sort of growth comes from. But all in all, you see, in a good economy, what tends to happen is that companies have high attrition, and therefore they hire more people to even stay at the same number. They are more aggressive and bullish on the future, and therefore they hire more people also to sort of, the headcount also tends to go up. Many new companies set up shop because they see new opportunity, more opportunity. While in a slow market, the opposite, exact opposite happens. So some sectors have been slow, some sectors are okay. Overall, things seem to be under control right now, but of course a lot will depend on what happens going forward. Auto sector is another sector which is now in trouble when it comes to, they're not hiring, they're sort of. And all this is also very well captured in our JobSpeak index, which we release every month. For July, I think the JobSpeak index was up 14%, while the IT index within the JobSpeak index was up more than 25%. Sectors like banking and auto were negative in the JobSpeak index. So that should give you a very good sense of what's happening in the market.
On the B2B space, look, we evaluate opportunities, and we've invested in two B2B companies, among the last five companies we invested in that we announced. One is a company called ShoeConnect, which we discussed a little while back. The other is a company called ShopKirana, which essentially is in last mile distribution of FMCG products to the small retailer. It's operating right now out of Indore and Jaipur and Bhopal, and they're doing a fairly good job. Good news about both these companies is that they've got a lot of inbound investor interest and from other investors, so it looks like they have legs. Now, as far as valuations are concerned, right now in private markets, the phenomenon we're seeing is that, look, if a company is showing traction, it is getting chased by a number of investors, and whether it's B2B or B2C, valuations get bid up. Of course, B2C will be higher, but even B2C is so B2C will be higher, but B2B also is not cheap.
Okay, just a couple of follow-ups. Hitesh, you mentioned that the that in a good economic scenario, you have a lot more companies set up and a lot more attrition. So, notwithstanding the GDP slowdown, how is it that we've managed to kind of sustain the billing growth and revenue growth compared to, say, previous occasions when GDP growth used to slow down, our billing growth also would taper down? What is it that is working for us this time compared to prior occasions?
Broadly what you're saying is right. GDP growth does impact our billing growth. But there are two, three things I want to say. One is, of course, IT, I don't know whether IT sort of is more indexed to, IT hiring is more indexed to India GDP growth, or is it, maybe it's more indexed to how the US is doing and how the rest of the world is sort of looking at That is one. And two, you know, even within India, there is a slowdown in certain sectors for sure, like I mentioned in NBFC, the NBFC sector, the auto sector, telecom, these sectors seem to have been impacted. But there are other sectors which continue to do well. So, you know, there's no slowdown in those sectors as far as we are concerned. Sectors like travel, tourism, hospitality, education, healthcare, you know, some of these services sort of continue to sort of, jobs from these kind of companies continue to grow on our platform. So one doesn't really know whether it's, I'm not the best person to comment on this, but it doesn't seem like it's a slowdown like we saw in 2008 or 2009 when the entire economy sort of, hiring came to a standstill. Enough companies are still hiring, but yeah, certain sectors seem to be slow.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Arya Sen from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Firstly, if you could repeat the Jeevan Sathi revenue, I missed that.
Jeevan Sathi, just one second. So billings grew 10% to 20.11 crores and revenue grew 9.4% to 19.92 crores.
19.92 crores, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Secondly, the Naukri margin seems to have come off a bit more than usual this quarter. So you talked about, you know, brand campaign and ad spend. So how do we look at it going forward? I mean, was there a bit of a one-off in this quarter and should it improve going ahead or does that continue for the rest of the year?
You know, there are two or three types of investments you're making in the recruitment business. One is, of course, this quarter, in Q1, we spent a lot of money on marketing. We are spending, we are right now also, as we speak, we are on TV. So this is going to be at least a two-quarter thing. We'll see, you know, what to do in Q3 and Q4. We haven't made up our mind as yet, as far as marketing expenditure goes. The other investments which are taking place are in, we are beefing up our product and technology and data science and design capability. So we've hired a lot of good people in that area, and we're doing working on a bunch of things, the impact of which will not be seen tomorrow, but maybe over a period of time. So these investments will continue, and you know these investments will probably increase with time. The third thing, sort of, we have also sort of now sort of doing a couple of new experiments. I mean, we've sort of set up teams to look at the blue collar space. We've set up a team to look at how we could disrupt the premium sort of hiring market using AI and machine learning. So there is some investment which is going to go into these teams. These teams will not be able to, they won't be generating revenue for quite some time, in fact. So this is something which we are sort of, we're not capitalizing on these investments. We are sort of charging them to our P&L. So these investments will only also sort of increase over time.
Right. And lastly, in your consolidated, you know, the share of net losses of JVs, that seems pretty high. So that is mainly Zomato and Policybazaar, right? Or
and how yeah, much I think the main contributor would be these two companies. So you're right.
And how much would be Zomato within that? And, you know, what's the sort of, you know, what's happening there in terms of the cash burn?
So burn, they're bringing it down. I think they have, you know, they have a plan to bring it down substantially, and they've begun to act on it over the last 3-4 months, and it's already showing results. They're not announcing any numbers just yet, but you know, they're progressing on that path.
Right, but I mean, just to sort of clarify, the net the contribution to loss this quarter seems to be like, you know, 253 crores versus 310 crores for the whole of last year. There is no accounting thing in that, right? That is the loss.
34.
So last year, Zomato had sold one of its overseas business. So they were one of
they did a transaction in the Middle East with Delivery Hero, and so that gave it a revenue boost.
Yeah. So last year was there was a one-off. This year it is normal.
There was a one-off in the adjusted for that, the loss would have been higher for the full year.
That's correct.
Okay. And how much would that number have been?
number for the sale that they did?
So the 310 crores for the full year, if I sort of adjust for that sale of the Middle Eastern business, that's what you're referring to, right? So
I don't know the exact number.
We'll get back to it.
Yeah.
It was announced, so
it'll
be there.
I'll look it up. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Shaleen Kumar from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunities. I have two questions, one related to Naukri and another related to 99acres. So in Naukri, we could see that your marketing spend has gone up sharply. Just want to know how has your spend gone up on Google? Google ad spend or AdWords, and what percentage of traffic come to you from Google?
See, we don't really share this kind of data. We advertise on multiple platforms. Google is, of course, one of them.
So, Hitesh, the thing is, the reason I'm asking, see, earlier when somebody used to search jobs, let's say software job in Bangalore, you will get some links, maybe yours, maybe Shine Jobs, maybe Time Jobs, right? But right now, what somebody will get is a list of jobs which provided by Google.
Yeah.
Now, if you have to, that's what I'm understanding, will the pricing power shift to Google at that point of time? Because now Google can ask you, if you want your ad to be above mine, you may have to pay premium. Right. So in that case, your marketing spend is going to go up.
That was the case earlier also. And if we want, actually, we can give our jobs to Google. They will be happy to take our jobs and feature them in their search. It's just that we are not doing it right now. Earlier also, this has been Google's model from day one, that if you want to appear on top, you have to advertise. Right. Otherwise, they can show any link on top. It doesn't necessarily have to be your link.
Yeah. The only point is that has it increased after this Google jobs, or is it the same?
What has increased?
The pricing or the amount which Google is charging.
I really don't have the numbers, but what you must have to understand is that Google is one platform we advertise on. We sort of advertise on Facebook, we advertise on YouTube, we advertise on Google, we advertise on the networks. We do app marketing campaigns. We are on television, everywhere. So Google is a very small part of, our advertising sort of mix.
Okay, fine. Good enough. Now, on the second bit on 99acres, as you have also pointed out, we've been seeing a growth of 30% plus in this segment. And in this quarter, the billing growth was a little lower, around 18%,
yeah,
while the revenue growth was around 35%. So, we were coming out of RERA, and there was some kind of a pent-up demand, and there was a market shift, organized play were better placed, and probably be able to garner that demand at that point of time. Are you think that from this even 18% growth is very good, but do you think that from a very high growth we are kind of reaching to a steady growth or robust growth kind of a scenario?
It's difficult to say, because like I mentioned earlier in the call, even in this quarter, we saw very robust growth in some markets. So in some markets, we hit even 27-28%. In some markets, our growth was down to single digits. Our growth has slowed down in the last one or two quarters. But we are not sort of calling it a slowdown as yet. We are still hopeful that, if we sort of do a few things right, we could sort of up our growth rate. But having said so, like real estate, I don't want to sort of say comment on, because like I said, in the last 3 years, we've been through RERA, we've been through demonetization, we've been through GST, and now there's an NBFC crisis, which has hit both builders and buyers, right? So, hard to predict what's going to happen in the market. It's not as if transactions have gone up over last year. Transactions are where they were. It's not as if the number of homes being sold has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe and the situation is different markets. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. I mean, hard for me to predict.
Yeah, because if underlying industry is in trouble, there's only a limit to which you can also grow.
Not really. See, because the overall market is still, we estimate that the ad market for real estate is at least 3,000 crores, if not more. And 10 years ago, actually, this market was more like 6,000 crores. So the market has actually declined, the ad market, over the last 10 years. And in this market, see, we are doing 200 crores, So it's not as if we are 20% of the market or 30% of the market. So even, and you know, there's market, so in a declining market for the last 5 years, we've sort of managed to more than double or triple our revenue, right? So we believe that there is still opportunity for us to grow. Of course, we have to execute well. We have to do a lot of things at our end to make that growth happen. But even in a slow market, we can continue to grow for a while, for a long time, I think.
Right. And how has our deferred revenue grew in real estate, and what's the quant, where it stands right now?
Can we give the breakup?
So I think we have, you
know, see, overall deferred revenue, I think, is up 18% over last year.
Yeah. But do you have the 99 acres number?
So it would be in line with, you know, because we have, you know, billing growth is about 18%, revenue growth was about 34%, right? So revenue growth is kind of, you know, coming down because it is coming from the previous quarters, right? So it would be in line with, you know, what the current, you know,
billing growth
would be.
Or maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you'll have to make the adjustments, but roughly you can say that.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Pranav Kshatriya from Edelweiss Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I have only one question. Regarding Jeevan Sathi, how do you see your incremental market share in the your targeted north and the west market? You think you are closer to 40 to 50% market share there, or and how? What is aspiration in terms of the market share in that market?
So, you know, we are stronger in the north than we are in the west. West is still a three-player market, while the north is most largely now a two-player market. I don't really have an exact sort of sense of our share. Maybe we are in the 30s, not in the 40s, I think, at this point in time. In terms of transactions, we may have slightly higher share because, we sort of tend to sell at lower prices than some of our competitors. Our long-term goal is to sort of keep increasing our, volume share and then, of course, our value share over time. We want to sort of be a player in this market, and we are focused on the north and west. In terms of population, the north and west are close to 50-60% of the country. They are, they sort of have been slower to get onto the internet because PC penetration was, of course, very low in these markets, at least in the north. And they have, thanks to smartphone sort of penetration going up, these sort of geographies are also, or these sort of areas are also getting online. So in the long run, you know, we believe that the north plus west will end up being 50-60% of the market. And if we can get to 50% share in these sort of regions over time, then at least we have a play.
Okay, thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Parag Gupta from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Hey, Hitesh, you seem to have seen a significant increase in your recruitment traffic or actually in your market share. I think about 70% in the previous quarter to 85% this quarter. So what's really happened out there?
We've been active on, we've been advertising aggressively for the last 3-4 months. That must have had an impact for sure. Of course, we continue to work on improving our product and improving our experience. That may have had some impact as well. But I think it's largely because of our media presence at this point in time.
And in your view, who probably has been the largest market share donor in the quarter?
So this 87-88% is when you take the market to be just TimeChoice plus Monster plus Shine, which are our traditional competitors.
Right.
My sense is all of them must have lost shares in the quarter. I haven't really looked at the individual numbers, but,
See, what happens in a slowdown, and we've seen that in the past, our competition begins to cut back a lot on investments, right, in a slowdown. Because simply, financially, it doesn't make sense for them because they're already probably loss-making. And I think, we on the other hand, as Hitesh said, we've gone and invested. There's probably been a double whammy for them.
And Sajeev, do you think that it's also because you have, kind of exposure across segments while some of your other competitors may not be, let's say, in IT sector? Is that also a reason for that, or do you think competitors are also spread across most of the segments?
No, I've seen pretty much everyone does everything. So it's not as if they are focused on a few segments only.
Got it. Okay. Okay. And, you know, your acquisition of IIM Jobs, I don't think that's showing up in your Q1 numbers. So is that something that will only start coming through in Q2?
Probably it will come from next year, because right now we are holding it 100%. But, you know, we may go for formal merger. And once that is done, then it will become part of standalone. So that, you know, may not be... But I think scripted, you know, remarks, you know, he said that the growth in the billing is about 22%, and it's kind of EBITDA break-even. If you don't take a certain exceptional cost which are related to acquisition, if you don't take that into account, then it's kind of a break-even business.
But Chintan, wouldn't IIM Jobs start coming in your consolidated numbers from Q2?
No, it's consolidated, you know, numbers, in that sense, you know, yes, no. But, you know, in the standalone, it will not come unless and until there is either a formal merger or a business transfer or anything of any other structure.
Okay. And in this quarter, your tax rate was pretty high in the standalone. So is that the number going forward, or do you think this will normalize through the year?
Should be normalized through the year. I think there could be, you know, I'm not sure if there is some NDS, you know, impact or maybe ESOP effect, you know, on that, you know. But, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Manish Poddar from Reliance AIF. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. I just had one question. Wanted to understand the thought process behind this RMS tool for Naukri. So what is the opportunity, let's say, for a SaaS tool like this? And what is the thought process behind it?
See, the thought process is very simple. You see, we work with 75,000 companies of all shapes and sizes. Some of them are very small, some of them are very large. The large ones, of course, have access to the best tools out there in the market. You know, so many of them go for international tools. There are some high-end domestic players as well who sort of cater to that market. But there are a bunch of companies in the middle, you know, and some of the smaller ones as well, who don't use anything, you know, at this point in time. Or they have tools that are very, very sort of outdated. So the idea is to sort of see how, if we can get some of these companies to use our tools. There are many benefits. One, of course, one gets some incremental revenue. Two, you know, if you get a lot of your clients to spend a lot more time on the platform, there is greater lock-in over time. So that's really the thought process. Still early days, and it's a new business for us. We are still trying to figure out the SaaS space. We are not a SaaS company to start with, as you know. But yes, we're making good progress, and you know, we'll continue down this path.
And just wanted to understand, is this open source right now, or, you know, so can the employer, you know, plug in the other players, or it just only Naukri?
There are different versions. So there are versions where you can sort of, you know, plug in other players as well. But it's a lot of it is work in process. So it's not as if it's all 100% built out. There's still a lot of sort of work going on the offering.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone phone. We have a next question from the line of Prince Poddar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, Hitesh, Sanjeev, Chintan. Just two, three questions from my side. Firstly, bookkeeping question. Ind AS EBITDA margin comparable last year reported numbers, and similarly 99 acres EBITDA comparable as in Ind AS adjusted.
So I think the margin, overall Info Edge margin was about 2%, you know, lower if you kind of, you know, do the NDS adjustment.
Okay.
One second.
Recruitment comparable margin basically.
I'll give you 1 second. I think it is called out earlier.
The recruitment margin.
Is no one said both.
Okay, so I'll just read out everything, okay? Also, operating EBITDA for recruitment stood at 114.91 crores, margins of 52.84% versus 56.8 last year. EBITDA readjusted for Ind AS 116 stood at rupees 111.8 crores at a margin of 50.9%.
Yep.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that does. 50.9 is what I was looking for. Yeah. And similarly, 99 acres is a comparable EBITDA.
So
I think you mentioned 24 lakhs.
24 lakhs versus a loss of 1.62 crores. If you take adjust for India.
Okay, got it. Okay. And the second thing, sir, I was looking at Naukri JobSpeak. It has been for the last 2 months, especially the JobSpeak grew by 6% and 14%, while there was strong growth in IT of 26% and 31% IT software. So I don't understand if the IT, which is our biggest component of job or basically biggest component of Naukri, is growing so well. What is causing this overall JobSpeak index to come down? I mean,
because
are the sectors going so bad?
Yeah, some sectors, like I mentioned earlier on the call, are in trouble. Sectors like NBA, the financial services sector, sectors like auto, sectors like telecom, sectors like the infra sector, construction, real estate, they continue to sort of either degrow or grow in very, very low single digits.
Okay, so because of these, the JobSpeak is pulling down. Okay. And so the last question is on essentially 99acres. So in the last one or two quarters, even on a normal base, I mean, on a normal adjusted base, we are growing by 30-odd%. And this quarter, it has come off a bit at 18% the billing growth. Do you think this is to continue for a while if the underlying market remains as it is? Because if we remember correctly, 30-odd% growth was coming on a higher base, which was adjusted last year, and this has come off a bit. So this will be a new normal going forward, or do you think this can improve? This might be a one quarter thing.
Well, it's really hard for me to say because there's so much happening in that market. There are all kinds of trends, and in some geographies we are doing well, in some geographies we are not doing so well. I think we should wait and watch for one more quarter before we sort of come to a conclusion on what sort of should be the new sort of normal for us going forward.
And just addition to this question, sir, how is the builder market versus the agents market doing in this? Still the agents market providing the better revenue growth?
The agent business continues to do well. See, the it's very joke. Like, so the Delhi market, for example, is largely driven largely an agent market, while the markets in the south are largely builder-led. So, like I said, in this quarter, we saw strong growth in some markets, weak growth in others. Now, by and large, yes, of course, the agent sort of piece continues to do well and continues to grow well for us. If South is doing well, for example, there are no agents in the South. That means the builders, in that particular quarter, the builder market sort of may do better than the agent market. But yes, but trend-wise, I think the business over time will move more and more towards agents.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you, sir. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. As there are no further questions from the participants, I'd now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for closing comments. Sir, over to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for sort of staying back till late for this call. We got a little late today because of our AGM, and that's why the call was kept late. And so have a great evening and happy Independence Day to everybody.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Info Edge Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining with us, and you may now disconnect your lines.